Good morning. Today's daf and kedushin is pei. We're on Ayin Tes Amud Beis. We're starting with the Mishnah. We're continuing on the topic of yichus. So we've been in the sugya of yichus now for some time, since the beginning of the fourth parak, and even a couple of dafim before, at the end of the third parak, tail end of the third parak. So we were introduced to the general concept of psule kahal, psule kahuna, and yichus. And so the topic continues, and we are now going to be seeing the last Mishnah of this topic of yichus. It's not the last Mishnah in the Masechta. We have three more days to go. Pay Aleph and Pay Beis. Next two Dapim, last two Dapim of the Masechta, are going to move on to a couple of other assorted topics. In fact, today, our second mission that we're going to be covering today, later this morning, Mir Hashem, is going to be covering the topic of Yichud, but that's later. Right now, we're finishing up on Yichud, Mishiyatza. Huvi Shalom Medina Sayam. So over here, we're going to start now in this mission. We're describing a Kohen. Okay, I know he's a Kohen because I read ahead. In other words, in the Gemara, it's going to be pretty clear that we're describing a Kohen. A couple of Rashis over here in our Mishnah also make it sound like that we're describing a Kohen. So Mishiyatza Huvi Shalom Medina Sayam. So you and your wife went to Medina Sayam and Uba Huvi Shavanav, and then you came back, and Baruch Hashem, you came back with a family. You have kids. Vamar Isha Shiyatza Imili Medina Sayam Hare Hizuva Elubaneha. So now, what's your declaration? So everyone see? So this is my wife. Now the truth of the matter is everyone knew that beforehand. In other words, he married her locally. They went away. They came back with a family, with kids. So now him identifying who his wife was, that's not news. In other words, everyone knew that. What was the news is that these children are my biological children, our biological children. So now, what kind of proofs does he need? Doesn't need any proofs whatsoever. In other words, the wife that he married was a local girl, so she was already pre-checked in terms of yichus, and so therefore the children, we're going to assume the children are her children. There's no reason why we should assume otherwise. And in a moment, we're going to see the Gemara together. In other words, what evidence do we have that they're her children, as opposed to maybe they adopted the children? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to speak it out. So if he comes back, he went away with his wife, and Rachmanis, his wife, passed away. And when he comes back with kids. No wife and kids. Now what? So now, maybe Raya Labanim. So now what he has to do, he has to bring some sort of Raya on the children. In other words, we're talking about Yichas. We're just talking about the idea that these children are Miyuchasim. He's a Kohen, and now his children are also going to be Kohanim. Now, in other words, what's the possibility? The possibility is that they're not his children. In other words, again, we don't know. He just came back with children, and Rachmanis, his wife, passed away. So in terms of these children having yichus, so he needs to bring some sort of raya. What the actual raya is, it's funny. In the course of today's daf, we're never actually going to discuss that. In other words, l'chora, the raya has to be edim, ostensibly, but it just happens to be, I'm noting, that we're not going to see that discussion. There's no reason that he has to bring a raya for his wife. In other words, we knew who his wife was. Now, the Kohen now, as we move to the last two cases of the Mishnah, Kohen goes away on his own. In other words, he wasn't married. He didn't have a wife. He went away. And now he comes back with Isha Ubanim. So now he's coming back with a whole family, a wife and kids. So Isha Nasasi B'Medina Siyam V'Arehi Zu Ve'ela Baneha. And now as he comes back, so look, Baruch Hashem, he's married with kids. And he's reporting, self-reporting. That's my wife. These are our kids. And again, the question now becomes a question of yichus. So maybe Raya Leisha, Vein Sarach Lavi, Raya Labanim. So now Raya on the woman. In other words, is this woman someone that's fit for him to marry as a Kohen? So now he has to bring a Raya for that because she's not a local girl. So he has to bring a Raya on that. Now that she's established to be a Meyuchas, now you don't need to bring a raya on the children. In other words, we're going to assume that the children are her children. Again, that assumption, we're going to clarify better in the Gemara. And now, in the last case of the Mishnah, so he went away as a single man. He came back, but only with children. So now, Mesa ve'ilu baneha, and now he explains. In other words, so I went away. I got married. Rachmanis, the wife, died. We had children before she died, obviously. And so these are my children. So now, Tzarech Lavi Raya Ala Isha Ve'al Habanim. So now, in other words, we don't know any history on the woman that he married, nor do we see her here. So, and she obviously we don't see the children relating to her. So now he's got to bring a raya that the woman that he married was a miyuchas. And on top of that, he also has to bring a raya on the children as well. Because Rachmanis, he came back with no wife. So now we don't know about the nature of the relationship between the child and the mother. And so therefore, a raya also has to be brought on the children as well. I've held off on this point for just a couple of minutes, but now we're here. And that is, how do we know about the nature of the relationship between child and the mother? How do I know that the child is the child of that mother? So the Gemara says, Kruchan achareha. So over here, we're going to open ourselves today in today's daf to this idea that certain behaviors can dictate the halachic reality. I'll say it again, like the way I said it. Certain behaviors will dictate a halachic reality. So over here, so when he comes back with a wife and children, and we don't know the history of the wife, and we don't know if that's their children. So now, what we're going to do is the following. As far as the wife is concerned, so again, he needs a raya for her. In other words, that she's a miyuchesis, and he married somebody that was appropriate to him. He's a kohen. So in other words, for her, he needs a raya. But in terms of the children, the behavior, what behavior? In other words, children are going to basically connect and attach themselves to their mother. Attachment. And so once we see that behavior, that is enough to establish that these children are, in fact, the children of that woman. And therefore, once she's a miyuchesis, so the children now are also going to go along with that yichus, because the behavior of attachment is in fact a raya. Tanu Rabban, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and here in the Braisa we get to see this play out. This idea of kruchen achareha. Isha nasas b'min a kohen comes into town with a wife and with children, and his declaration: I married her b'min dinasayam while I was away. I found a wife, and so maybe raya leisha vein tzarich lavi raya labanim. So maybe raya al hagadolim, mitzarech lavi raya al katanim. So he needs to bring no raya for the minor children, but he does need to bring a raya on the older children. Well, what's the difference between older children and younger children? So now, in other words, once I learned this chiddush of kruchen achareha, you plug it into the braisa, and it makes all the sense in the world. In other words, when you have adult children, so I say adult children, by the way, back in the day, adult meant, you know, basically over bar mitzvah. But when we're talking about adult children, so there's no behavior to look at, right? Are the 15-year-olds or the 20-year-olds, are they going to be attached to the mother? Wherever the mother goes, that's where the children are going to be. Are they crying out, mommy, mommy? So no. In other words, we don't have the behavior of krucha and nachareha. Therefore, so they need their own background check in order to make sure that they're miyuchasos. Because we don't have krucha and nachareha. On the other hand, the minor children, the ketanim, so there we have krucha and nachareha. In other words, wherever the mother goes, that's where they're going to go. They're totally attached to the mother. And so therefore, once the mother checks out, so then the banim ketanim also going to check out as well. So in the Braisa, we got to see so clearly this idea of krucha and achareha. Note, by the way, in the Braisa, you don't see the actual words krucha and achareha, but the idea is there. Now, b'medvar mamorim, so here we are in the Braisa. We made the point, but we just have to finish up. Now, if let's say, for example, he was married to two women. So now it gets complicated because he was married to two women. In other words, he's reporting that he was married to two women. And now, where are his two wives? In other words, he only came back with one. So now we are going to say in such a scenario that even though the wife is background checked and the wife is proven to be a miyuchases, that doesn't necessarily speak about the children. Why not? Because with the children, it could very well be that one of the wives died young, in other words, leaving young children. And it could be that the surviving wife took these children and raised them as her own. And so, yeah, these children now are going to attach themselves to their non-biological mother. But in other words, but we're going to see the behavior of attachment. But meanwhile, that doesn't prove that they're actually the mothers. So in this more complicated scenario, attachment doesn't necessarily prove anything. But normally, that's the general point of the Braisa. Normally, when you see behavior of attachment, it does prove that they are her children. Amrei Shlakish, lo shanu lebekashe gvul, aval biyuchsin lo, v'rav yochanan amar afilo biyuchsin. Okay, so the kruchen achareha. So how much does that prove halachically? So according to Reish Lakish, we're not going to go all the way. In other words, we're not going to take this behavior of Kruch and Achareha and make the absolutely complete case that that's the mother and that's her children. We will say it as far as Kashi Gvul is concerned, but we will not say it as far as Yichus. Okay. Rashi over here explains like this. Kashi Gvul, that's the eating of Truma. So, are we going to allow the children to eat Truma? Yes. In other words, for the behavior, Kruchen Achareha. So now, Dad's a Kohen. Who did he marry? We don't know. In other words, he brought back a wife. So, is she a Miuchesis? We have proven she is. He brought the Raya. The documentation necessary, the proof necessary that mom is a miuchesed. Somebody he was allowed to marry. Ah. Now what about their children? Okay, so they're always with her. So they're attached. So the way Resh Lakish understands it is that, okay, so now we're gonna allow the children to eat Truma. That's Kashe Gavul. Truma is described as Kashe Gavul. By the way I'm presenting the Gemara today is like Rashi. Every single day. I don't say it every day. But in other words, just as a general sheet in presenting the daf, so I go with Rashi. It happens to be Tosfos over here does not agree with Rashi, but again, for purposes of daf, give a nice streamlined approach. So so Kachik Vul is Truma. Why is Truma called Kachik Vul? Because it's Kachim that you're allowed to eat outside of the Beis Hamikdash, outside of Yerushalayim. So the child is allowed to eat Truma, but as far as Yichus is concerned, so in other words, are we going to now allow the children's children to marry into Kohen? We're not going to go that far. Okay, now Rashi's Pshat, I have to admit, is a little bit difficult, it's a little bit challenging, meaning according to Reish Lakish. So Kruchen Achareha proves that the child is in fact a Kohen Miuchesis. Lagabe Truma. But not Lagabe Yichus. That's a fine distinction to make. It's a difficult distinction to make, but anyway, that's the way Rashi understands Reish Lakish. For our purposes right now, we'll leave it like that. Rav Yochanan, who is going to be so much easier for me to explain, Rav Yochanan says, no, I feel biyuchsin. Meaning, Kruchen Achareha will prove unequivocally that these children are her children. Once she is proven to be a miyuchesis, and we have the behavior of Kruchen Achareha, that now will tell us that these children are miyuchasos, or miyuchasin, legamre. Totally, completely. Vazer Rav Yochanan... The older ones, no, the older ones are going to need proof. In other words, Kruchen Achareha only works for Ketanim, not for Gedolim. Right? Right? That's correct. The Azar of Yochanan Tamid Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Amar of Yochanan Malkin Alachazokos, Soklev Sofen Alachazokos, Vein Sofen Truma Alachazokos. And Rabbi Yochanan had fundamental comments to make regarding how all this works. So Malkin Alachazokos. In other words, we're going to give Malkus over a Chazaka. Chazaka over here, basically, certain behaviors. In other words, again, I'm going to go back to that big line I said earlier today, and that is that certain behaviors can dictate halachic realities. Okay? It's called the chazaka. So, as far as malkin al chazakos, meaning these chazakas are so strong we're even going to give somebody malkus, that's number one. Soklim v'sorfin al chazakos, skila, sreifa. In other words, put people to death based on chazakos, that's number two. And number three, ain't sorfin truma al chazakos. But we're not going to burn truma because of a chazaka. Okay, now, if you take these three statements and you line them up and you look at each one of them as part of one big statement, man, oh man, is it difficult. It's difficult to understand. Meaning because of a chazaka, because of a certain behavior, so we're going to put somebody to death. Okay, but just because truma becomes tame through a chazaka, the case itself we're going to discuss later, so we're not going to burn the truma because we don't know definitively that the truma is tame. Right? If you think about it for a moment, because of a chazaka, we're ready to put somebody to death, but we're not going to burn truma because of a chazaka, because we're not totally sure. So what you can't do is you can't take these three statements of Rav Yochanan and you can't say, in other words, here are the rules of chazaka. In other words, what we're going to have to say, it's going to be clear in the Gemara, but I'm just saying it now. What we're going to have to say is that not all chazakas are built the same. Right. In other words, we have to treat each chazaka independent of the other. In other words, certain behaviors are very strong indicators, and other behaviors are not as strong indicators. You have to say something along those lines. Otherwise, how can it be? Okay. So what we're going to do now is that we're going to basically give voice to each of these cases of chazakas. So Malkin al chazaka. So the Gemara says first of all Malkus. So, Rav Yehuda, Dam Rav Yehuda, Huchzaka Nida Bishchei Noseha. So, Bala Loka Allah Mishum Nida. Okay, so his wife is a Nida. How do I know that? Because look at the way she dressed. Now, we're not going to be able to relate to this Gemara. Okay, I could say that confidently. Nowadays, when a woman's a Nida, Is she dressing differently? Bizmanenu, in our day? No, no, no. In other words, what we do when a woman is anida is that we basically don't do anything that would broadcast that information to anyone outside of the house, anyone outside of her husband. Okay. Back in the good old days, again, we can't relate. But back in the good old days, so when a woman was anida, what she would do is she would wear clothing that indicates to everybody she was anida. Okay, that was the behavior that was once upon a time that was done. Okay,
we do it slightly.
No, we don't do it.
Underwear.
No. We don't.
That's
no.
For the purpose of.
No. This is where I'm 100% right. I'm correct. She does not broadcast this information to anyone.
Not broadcast, but she does.
That's to her husband. Right. That's to nobody else.
So it's not public.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Back in the good old days, so this was public. This was publicly demonstrated to everybody. Again, we just simply can't relate to this. It's not our practice. Okay, my best guess, it doesn't mean it's right. My best guess is that back in the day, so you had to worry about Tumat Tahara. In other words, while she's Anida, anything she touches now is Tameh. So how am I supposed to know, meaning if I'm not the husband, how am I supposed to know that she's Anida? So back in the day, she used to wear clothing that indicated that she was Anida. And yes, in other words, it's so hard for us to relate because how awkward is it now that basically not only is she telling everyone she's Tameya, but she's also basically telling everybody like what's going on in their house vis-a-vis their relationship, husband and wife. Okay, so again, it's fair to say we can't relate. Doesn't matter. The point is that back in the day, she would wear clothing that would indicate she's Anida. So that's a behavior. And now let's say that while she was Anida, how do we know? Because of her behavior. So now she and her husband are together while she was Anida. Again, the only way we know is because of the clothing she wore. So Malkin ala Chazakos. So we're going to give him and her, presumably, Malkos because of the behavior that was demonstrated. That's number one. Number two. So the Misarfen ala Chazakos kid Rabba Baravuna Dam Rabba Baravuna Shisha Tinok Vitinokos Shigdila Besoch Habayis Niskalin Zalzeh Nisarfen Zalzeh. So let's say it's a family unit. How do I know it's a family unit? Because of the behavior. The husband and wife are living together, and there's children in the house. So now the behavior allows us to make all these assumptions. That's a husband and wife. That's their children. And so therefore now, if there's any incest going on, so now we're going to put them to death, depending on what kind of incest and what the punishment is. I'm not going to go through all the details right now. But in other words, as long as they behave like a family unit, we're going to treat them like a family unit, even to the degree in which we're going to put them to death if they have incestual relationship. Okay? That's number two. And I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, Maisa b'Yisha, Shabbalu Yushalem, V'tinak mor kavla k'tefa. V'hid gilaso, u'bala v'yavun l'beisinu skalum. Lo mimnei shebenavada, elo mimnei shekruch achareha. And the Gemara says, and this happened, right? I get this question, not that often, but I get this question of, did they ever actually put somebody to death? Meaning the Mishnah at the end of Makos tells us, a beisinu put somebody to death once in 70 years. So that's a bloody beisinu. Right, the Beis Din should make it as part of their mission statement that even though they can judge a capital case and they can put somebody to death, but their mission statement is don't do it. In other words, find the out for anybody who's subject to capital punishment. That's the general mission statement of Beis Din. Over here, however, it's clear. We have an episode, we have an incident where there was an incestual relationship between mother and her son, and they put him to death. Now, the point the Gemara is making over here is that how do we know that they were mother-child? Meaning, was anyone there for the witnessing of the birth? No. In other words, but kruchen achareha. The child went wherever the mother went. So in other words, while the child was a katan, so they were always together. In other words, there was attachment. That attachment now is going to allow us to halachically say, that's mother's son. Therefore, later in life, when there was an ancestral relationship, they actually put the person to death. Okay, so we've covered now statement number one of Rav Yochanan that you're going to give Malkus on a Chazaka. We went over statement number two of Rav Yochanan that you're going to give Skila and Sreifa over a Chazaka. We're up to statement number three. Ain't Sreifa and Truma ala Chazaka da Amar Rav Shimon Malakish. Sreifa ala Chazaka, Rav Yochanan Amar, ain't Sreifa. So now, but if it's Truma and it's Tameh, we're not sure it's Tameh. In other words, there are behavior patterns that would suggest that it's Tameh. So Rav Yochanan says, don't burn the Truma. Now again, remember what I said just moments earlier. We just gave lashes because of a chazaka. We put people to death because of a chazaka. Oh, but the truma may not be, we're not sure if the truma is tummy. Don't burn the truma because of a chazaka. Okay. So again, I go back to what I said moments earlier, not every chazakah is the same. We're going to make that case hopefully really clear over here. So the azdu litamayu dinan. So now what do? We start with a Mishnah in Taharas. This is the third parak of Taharas. Kinek shenim sebesadisa. And vebatzek biyado. So you have a child that is right by a dough. And the child now is playing with part of the dough. It's in his hands. So Rabbi Meir Mitaher. So Rabbi Meir says that the dough in total is going to be tahor. And v'chachamim mitamim imneisha darker shotinach litafeach. And what the chachamim will tell you is that no. In other words, a child, as far as a child is concerned, what's the general child behavior pattern of a child? Behavior pattern of a child is, child loves playing in the garbage. Child loves playing in the mud. Child loves playing in the garbage. So now, what do you normally find in the garbage? So, shratzim. So there are bugs in the garbage, and some of those bugs, eight types of those bugs, when they're dead, so they give off tumah. So now we're going to assume that the child was playing in the garbage with the shratzim, and there's a sheretz that is mitame. And now the child has got dough in his hands. So now we're going to assume that the child that was in, that his behavior pattern is that he exposed himself to shratzim, and now he touched the dough. Dough is tame. Via vinam by my time, the Rebbe Meir. Now Rebbe Meir obviously disagrees with the Chachamim. So what's behind Rebbe Meir? So kasav rov tinok is metapchin. So he says, yes, it's true that the behavior pattern of children is that they play in the dirt, but that's most children. And rov tinok is metapchin. And miut ein betapchim, but some don't. The isa becheskes tara omedes. As far as the dough is concerned, we know the dough is becheskes tahora, meaning we know the dough started off as being tahor. So smoch miut ala chazak israeli ruba, period. And according to Rav Meir, so you'll take the miut, you'll attach it to the chazaka, and that will outweigh the rove. Okay, these are big ideas over here. And if there was more time, we would explore this a lot more. In other words, basically, according to Rav Meir, so Rav Meir, who says that miut is significant, and Rashi points out over here, you'll find a number of places throughout Shas where Rabbi Meir says he's choshesh lemiuta. In other words, the significance of the minority. So Rav Meir takes that into account. So you take the miut, you attach it to the chazaka, and now as an equation, I know I'm saying this too quickly, as an equation, miut plus chazaka is going to be greater than a rov. Meaning, generally speaking, when I have rov versus chazaka, rov outweighs the chazaka. Ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. But over here, according to Rav Meir, I take the chazaka, and together with the miut, so that's going to go and defeat the rov, be greater than the rov. Okay. And v'rabanan miut kamandalei sadame, and ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. And according to the chachamim, so what do I have? I the miut, I ignore it altogether. In other words, generally speaking, when it comes to rove versus miut, so the rove is going to beat the miut. And we pay no regard, no attention to the miut whatsoever. And so over here, it's rove v'chazaka and ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. So I know the dough was in a state of, we know the history of the dough is that it was tahor. But look, the vast majority of children, they play in the dirt. And since the vast majority of children do, and I know some children don't, but the vast majority do, so that we're going to qualify as a rove. Rove versus chazaka, rove is going to beat the chazaka. Okay. So in such a scenario, so we are going to now say that the dough is in fact going to be tameh. Now, if the dough was truma, so now that's truma tameya, and I burn it. So again, according to Rav Yochanan, no, we're not going to go that far. So ela eza chazak leRav Yochanan shesrafin aleha. So the Gemara says, okay. So like I said earlier, not every chazak is the same. Is there going to be a chazaka according to Rav Yochanan where we're actually going to burn the truma? The Gemara says, sure, there is. So. So over here, we have the following. Okay, it says it did not, which normally means it's a Mishnah. It happens to be not a Mishnah, it's a Braisa. Either way. So what do I have? I have dough in the house, and there are tzfardim and shratzim that are in the house. Your house happens to be infested with all different types of crawly items. Okay, maybe best idea right now to call pest control, but your house right now is ransacked by different types of little rodents. Now, shratzim and tzfardim. Tzfardim in modern Hebrew is called a frog. It's what we call a frog. Okay, whatever it is. The thing we need to know is that Tzvardeya does not give off Tumah. When you have remains of Tzvardeya, it's not Metame. Shratzim, on the other hand, another type of bug, another type of small item. Don't ask me for a good interpretation. I don't know what it is. But the point, of course, is that a Sheretz is Metame. So I got all these different types of little critters in my house. Some give off Tumah, some don't. And now some of it shed into the dough. Okay, in our modern thinking, there's no way any one of us in this room, I'll speak for myself, will go ahead and eat the dough if we find little bits of critters in the dough. I think it's fair to say. Okay, but so nimtzu chatichos be'isa. So let's say there was some shedding of those critters that were in the dough. So imrov shratznim tmeya, v'imrov tzvardim tahora. So if the majority of your house, in other words, now what you're going to do is you're going to take a sample of what kind of critters do you have in your house? Yeah, so what kind of critters do you have in your house? So if it is the majority of them are shratzim, so now that dough is tummy. And if the majority are tzvardim, so then the dough is going to be tahor. So this is going to be a situation in which the chazakah is strong enough where according to Rav Yochanan, what you're going to do is you're going to be burning the truma. Okay. Tanya kavasi to Rav Yochanan. We have a price of supporting Rav Yochanan. Shnei dvarim b'hem das lishavasim chachamim. Kimashi yesh b'hem das lishael. So there are two times in halacha where, even though we don't have somebody that we can ask, the halacha that treats it as if we have somebody we can ask. What does that mean, somebody we can ask? So you know. Safik toma b'rishos yachid sveiko tame. Right? That's the rule. The beginning of Sota. We did it together. And how do I know that? Because of the case of Sota itself. The man and woman went and sequestered themselves into a room. What happened in that room? So we have an excellent suspicion of what happened in the room. We don't know. And now when the man and woman come out of the room, now I'm not giving you all the details, by the way. There has to be a warning. And the kinui has to be done in front of Adam. There then has to be a stira. I'm not giving all the details right now. But man and woman were in a room. We don't know what happened in the room. So what do we say? So we say, what does the Torah say? She's a sota. She's a sura to her husband. Until they go to the base of Mikdash, she drinks the water. Okay, there's a lot going on over here. The point is, however, that this is a source in the Gemara of Safik Tumah B'Rishos Yachid, Sveiko Tameh. Now, the thing that we need to remember is that that's true when it involves a man and a woman. What is the nature of a man and woman? People we could ask what happened. Now, mind you, by the way, asking them what happened is not going to help because, again, the halacha is that they are, she's Tameya. But the point is that at least we could ask her what happened. So this rule of Safik Tumah B'Rishos Yachid Sveiko Tameh is only when there is Das Lisha'el. The Chachamim said, look, if there's Eino Das Lisha'el, so we're not going to say Sveiko Tameh. There are two cases where we are going to say Sveiko Tameh. What are those two cases? So Tinok V'Oda Cheres. So the case of Tinok and another case as well, Tinok Adam Aran. So as far as the Tinok is concerned, so that which we already said. Remember the Tinok that was by the garbage and with the dough in his hand? So over there, can I ask the Tinok what happened? No, the Tinok does not have das. He may be able to talk, but that doesn't mean the kid's smart. The Oda Cheres Maihi. And the Gemara says, now what's the other case? So the Gemara says the other case goes like this. Isa B'tzor Chabayis V'tarnegol Amashkim Tameim Sham. So there's a doe in the house, and there's chickens in the house. Umashkim tameim sham, and there was also liquids that we know for sure are tame. V'nimtzu, we're now in the Amud Beis. Nimtzu nikurim, and what do I know? I now know that the chicken pecked into the dough. Again, by the way, if chicken pecked into your dough, into my dough, I'll speak for myself. Chances are is that we're not going to eat the dough. Okay, our degree and levels of hygiene far exceed what they were used to once upon a time. Okay, they were just a lot tougher than we are. What can I tell you? So anyway, so the chicken pecked in the dough. Now, what's their thought process? Their thought process is very simple. I know there were mashkim tamim in the house. That's a given. I know the dough was truma tahora. That's also a given. But maybe what happened is that the chicken first went into the liquid, like drank a little bit of the liquid, then went and pecked into the dough, and now inserted, basically, the chicken served as a syringe, inserting the mashkim tameim into the dough. Now, we didn't see any of that happen, But again, now we know the behavior of the chicken. Can we now assume that that behavior is going to dictate a certain halachic reality? So the Gemara says, So this is now the Gemara quoting a brisa that discusses this very issue. And tolin lo ochlin velo sarfin. So what are we going to do? Qualify it as a suffek. Okay. So, and again, this goes back to the position of Rav Yochanan, that this is now a chazaka, and the chazaka is going to demand, because we know the behavior of the chicken, so the chazaka is going to demand that at least we have to be suspect, and therefore, we're not going to burn the dough. Well, but at the same...
What the difference? You can't eat it anyway.
Wonderful.
What do you do with it?
You have to dispose of it correctly. It's not the greatest answer to your question, but in other words, you can't burn it because we don't know for sure it's truma tamea. If we knew definitively it was truma tamea, so then we would burn it. We don't know for sure. At the same time, it's possible that's tamea. So therefore, tolin, you suspend it.
There's nothing hectic about it, though, right?
It's truma.
So it is hectic.
Some perfect.
How can you just throw it in the garbage?
So tolin. I know. I'm just repeating what the Gemara says, but right, correct. In other words, you can't burn it, and you can't eat it. Suspension. I'm Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Lo shanu ela b'mashkin levanim, ava b'mashkin adamim imisa nakir mediyadi. So the Gemara says, okay, but a little bit more forensic evidence. Again, what is the scene of the crime? So we got the tamei liquid, we got the dough, and I got little pecks of the chicken in the dough. And so now, what we are, the way we're recreating the crime scene is that the chicken went and sucked up some of that mashkim tamayim and inserted it into the dough. That's the way we're reconstructing the crime scene. And therefore, we are at least suspecting that the dough is tamayim. Okay, great. What if the liquid was colored? Is that going to help our crime scene? So that's what the Gemara is discussing. And this is going to bring us to the Mishnah. If the liquid, let's say, for example, was red, so now we have forensic evidence. I'm going to look at the dough. Do I see any of the red liquid? If I do, it's tamea. If I don't, then the chicken went and pecked into the dough, but with no liquid. So vidilma bal isinu isa. So you talk about the Gemara and the crime scene laboratory. The Gemara says, I don't know, maybe the red liquid went into the dough and was absorbed into the dough. So I'm Rav Yochanan, Davizeh Shama Bri, but Perisha Lo Shama. So Rav Yochanan says, look, I have this as a Masara, and I may not be able to explain it so well, but I have it as a Masara. So Lo Shana Ola B'mashkin Tzlulim Shebevoa. So Sheltinok Nikarba Ava Mashkim Achurim Lo. So now the Gemara says we're going to make a distinction between whether or not the liquid is silulim. So the silulim means that it's really clear. So, right. So you're right. If it's a really clear liquid, so then we could talk about absorption. But it's a very thick liquid that's red, so it's not going to absorb into the dough. And again, the forensic evidence would indicate that if the red liquid were there, we would see it. If it's not there, then it means that if we don't see it, that means it's not there. Okay, so just a complicated discussion regarding taking little bits of evidence and knowing the behavior patterns of chickens and trying to piece together what happened.
So if we don't see it, it's tamei. If we see it, it's kosher.
Okay, it's a fair review of the Gemara. It's a fair summary. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the sugya of Yichus. And now we begin. We begin the conclusion of the Masechta. We'll start the Mishnah. We'll do more than just start the Mishnah. Yeah. Oh, okay. We're good on timing. We'll start the Mishnah. This is the Sugya of Yichud. Really, the truth of the matter is that we could take it to the... No. We're not going to take it to the end of the Sugya.
What day
are
we in? Friday?
Okay, so over here now with these last Mishnayos that we're doing in the Masechta, so we're going to be covering a couple of assorted topics. This topic that we're going to be covering today and tomorrow is going to be the topic of Yichud. Extraordinarily important topic. In other words, the Yisr Yichud, do not seclude yourself with a woman that's not your wife. Okay? The former vice president, right? Rarely do you hear me talk politics. Former vice president made a comment that he wouldn't do this. He wouldn't seclude himself with a with another woman. Okay, what's it called? Okay, and so what's it called? And so right or whatever. In other words, he's onto something. In other words, the Isser of Yichud. Okay, so aside from the fact that it's Usser, okay, the could not give better advice. In other words, you seclude yourself with a with another woman. Okay, so it's not good. But we are over here now, beyond well beyond the good advice, and now we're in the realm of halacha. So in other words, it is usser to seclude yourself with another woman. That's the Isser of Yichud, and that's where we're going to be starting. The sugya that we are here. So why are we onto the topic of Yichud? I don't know. Meaning, where does it fit now in the Masechta?
Is that if a man is married or?
Huh? All the details are coming up. All the details are coming up. We're going to discuss all of it. Okay. So the why is this here? So at the end of the Masechta, this is not a great explanation. Okay. So take it with a grain of salt, a lot of salt. So at the end of the Masechta, sometimes they're just assorted topics that, in other words, didn't necessarily have a perfect place to go. And so here we are. So we are going to be discussing today and tomorrow Yichud. And we're going to be discussing occupations that a person should find themselves to have. Which occupations are good, which occupations are not good. That's a Kedushin topic? Funny. That comes up. But again, we're at the end of the Masechta. So a number of assorted topics. So let's start off with the Isser of Yichud. The Isser of Yichud, not secluding yourself with a woman that is not your wife. So that Isser is an Isser Daraisa or an Isser Darabanan. I throw the question up. The Rambam, in his way, in his manner, so he describes it as an Isser, which is Divrei Kabbalah. And then, of course, the Rambam gives this somewhat ambiguous description of the Isser, which means what? The Rambam holds it's an Isser Daraisa or an Isser Darabanan. You can well imagine that we could debate this topic. For our purposes right now, there's nothing to debate. It's simply usur. It's prohibited. And so now, lo yisachid adamim she'nashim. So fine. So to seclude yourself with one woman, that is clearly out of the question, meaning that is that's an isur. How about together with two women? So the lo yisachid adamim she'nashim aval isha achas misyachidim she'nashim. So over here, the Mishnah opens up with the following halacha. A man cannot seclude himself with two women. A woman can seclude herself with two men. Obviously, hopefully you're thinking to yourself right now, why the distinction? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that very question. That will be the first topic in the Gemara coming up. Rabbi Shimon Amarim, Af Isha Echad Mityachinim Shei Nashim, Bizman She Ishto Imo. So, a man can seclude himself with two women, but that is only Bizman She Ishto Imo. That's only when his wife is one of those two women. And as long as your wife is with you, so then you can even stay in the same inn and in the same lodge. As long as your wife is with you, she will be mishamer. She will protect you. A man can seclude himself with his mother and with his daughter. Now, the relationship between a man and his mother, a man and his daughter, it's an Isser Arayos. She's an Erva. Your mother's an Erva, and your daughter's an Erva. One of the Arayos of the Torah. Or I should say better, two of the arayos of the Torah. So the Isser Yichud is that you cannot seclude yourself with a woman you're not allowed to be with. So that would include mom. It would include your daughter, right? So here now, obviously, this is where we're carving out exceptions. Obviously, it would be an Isser of the Torah to be with your mother. It's an Isser of the Torah to be with your daughter. However, for reasons which I can explain a little bit better, just not now. In other words, we don't have a Yetzirah, neither for the mother nor for the daughter. And I know, by the way, in other words, there are other relationships that you're going to be wondering about. I know. But right now, we'll just stay with the Mishnah. So there's no Isser Yichud with a man and his mother. There's no Isser Yichud with a man and his daughter. Misyachid adam imo v'imbito v'yashen imahem b'kir basar im higdilu. So zu yashen b'ksusa v'zay yashen b'ksusa. And not only can you be misyache, can you seclude yourself with her, with either? Don't worry, that was me. Not only can you seclude yourself with her, but you can even be in the same room together. And the Mishnah over here, it's whatever. It's a somewhat indelicate Mishnah. In other words, even in the same bed. In other words, there is no Isser of Yichud. There is no concern whatsoever that there's the Yetzer Hara. So my time. We are going to start with the Gemara. The Gemara is going to be taking us step by step through the Sisra of Yichud. So first of all, the opening line of the Mishnah. A man is not allowed to seclude himself with two women. Again, neither is his wife. But a woman is allowed to seclude herself with two men. Meaning it's not Yichud. A woman and two men. So now you're wondering, what's the difference? My time. So the Gemara over here says that it's the nature and psychology of women versus men. Okay, as far as women is concerned, so dietan kalos. Okay, you're going to hear that expression a couple times throughout Chas, and that when describing women, so they are not as strong-minded. Okay, happens to be that, right? I know a couple women in this world. Happens to be they're pretty strong-minded. So, okay. Baruch Hashem, my mother is a European woman who is, in other words, happens to have grown up in Buenos Aires, as you know. But in other words, strong-minded woman. Baruch Hashem. So this idea of Da'at and Kalos, so it is challenging to explain for sure, but the basic idea is that there will be at least more of a chance that a man will be successfully able to persuade two women to be involved in Isser than it will be for one woman to persuade two men. Okay, let's just say it like that. Let's leave it like that. That's Tana de Be'eliyahu. That's the explanation of the Gemara in terms of the difference between why it is that Yichud would be accept. In other words, there's no Isser Yichud for one woman, two men, but there is an Isser Yichud of one man, two women. Okay, Menani Mili. Now we're going to come back to the numbers later in the sugya, but first we're going to take a quick step back. Okay, this is Sir of Yichud, where am I going to find it in the Torah? So, Menani Mili, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Remez Li Yichud Min HaTorah Minayin. Okay, so here we are, and I asked the question back in the Mishnah, right? The Isser Yichud is an Isser of the Torah, or is an Isser Durabanan? Okay, so, and I quoted the Rambam calls it Divrei Kabbalah. Okay, our Gemara over here doesn't really clear up this question of whether it's an Issur D'oraisa or an Issur D'rabbanan. You notice the language of the Gemara? Remez liyichud min haTorah minayin. Where's the allusion to Yichud in the Torah? So there is no Beferish Pasuk in the Torah that speaks to it. Okay. So Shenemar, ki yisitzcha achicha ben imecha. So v'chi ben aim mesis ben av eno mesis. So what's going to happen, the Torah is describing over here in Parshas Re'eh, is that you're going to be seduced by your brother, right? Beni Mecha. So in other words, it's the son of your mother. Okay, it's another way of describing your brother, your maternal brother. So Ben Aim Mesis, Ben Ave No Mesis. And that's so strange, meaning what's going to happen? You're being seduced by your maternal brother, but not your paternal brother, in terms of being Ovid of Avodah Zarah? That's so strange. So Ella ben Mitzachinim imo. So the also Mitzachinim kol Araisha b'Torah. So what we learn over here is that a son is allowed to be secluded with his mother, but a son is not allowed to be secluded with any of the other Araisha in the Torah. Okay. Now you talk about taking a pasuk and really interpreting it well out of context, meaning the Torah in that particular parsha has nothing to do with Araisha and Yichud. And over there, it's just simply said, the Torah is just simply saying, hey, your brother may seduce you to do Avodah Zarah, and even though it's your brother, and even though you like him, right, more than like him, in other words, he's your brother, nevertheless, don't be seduced. Good. That's a simple pshat of the Torah. But meanwhile, the Gemara over there is using it as a remez for Yichud. Okay, so again, that's why it's a remez. That's why it's not a beferish pasuk. So Pasha Dekrab Ben Maksiv, the Gemara says, okay, can you give a simple interpretation of the pasuk over here? So Amar Abai, Lomi Bai Kamar. So the way the Torah is to be understood is the following. It goes without saying. Lo mi baye. So ben av desanile the ayetz le etzos ra'os. So the Gemara says, look, as far as your paternal brothers are concerned, how do you feel about your paternal brothers? So I'll say the following. You love him and you hate him. Okay? You have a love-hate relationship with your paternal brothers. In other words, he's your brother. You love him, of course. On the other hand, you know that ultimately later down the road in life, so you and him are going to be contesting over the estate. Okay. So does he have your best interest? Yes and no. Sorry for being so confusing, but it's true. It's true. Yes and no. In other words, because eventually what you're going to have to do is that you're going to be fighting over money with him. It's the reality of life. And so therefore, his etzos are not always going to be the best etzos. Okay. So When your paternal brother comes over to you and says, hey, I got this great idea. Let's serve idolatry. So already you're going to be somewhat hesitant about any advice that he gives you. And so over there, so he gives you this advice about idolatry. So you're going to be already on the defense. I don't know. Doesn't sound like such a good idea. And look where the idea is coming from. My paternal brother. But Ella, Afilo ben Aim de los Anile, but if it's just your maternal brother, so there it's all love. You're not going to be fighting over any estate. In other words, over there, there's no money issues. So he's just your brother. Oh, so it's just 100% love. So Aim at Saisile. So now, if he tells you to be over to Varazara, okay, now you'll really consider it. So Kamash Malan, that's what the Torah is coming to tell me. That even though it's coming from the seduction is coming from somebody who you really like, still, if the proposition is avodah zarah, thank you, but no thank you. So neima masisin delo kabashol detanya. So as far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is not going like the sheet of Abishol. Who's Abishol? So we have the following brisa. Kol shoshim yom yotze b'cheik. So nikbar yotze b'cheik v'nikbar b'yishachas v'shein nashim. So over here, this is a brisa, and this brisa over here is talking about rachmanus when the child dies. The child, I'm not talking about a child, I'm talking about an infant. And the infant dies, and we're talking about taking it out to be buried. And so over here, who's going out to the cemetery? So you have to worry about yichud, even as you head to the cemetery. So if it's a man and a woman, obviously not husband and wife. If it were husband and wife, There's no issur yichud, husband and wife. We've already established that. But in other words, if it's a man and a woman, you can't do it. So what do you have to do? You have to make sure the numbers are correct. So the Tanna Kamma says that if it's two men and one woman, that's fine. If it's two women and one man, that's not acceptable because that's a violation of yichud. Abishal says af ishechad shenashim, and Abishal says it could be one man, two women. So now our Mishnah is not going like Abishol. It seems to be a reasonable position to take. So the Gemara says, okay, but I could argue. So afilu tema Abishol. So b'shas aninus taviyitzre. So the Gemara says, no. In other words, you could argue that our Mishnah is going like Abishol. Abishol would make an exception for going out to a funeral. Why? Because it's somber. The mood is somber. In other words, the Yetz Sahara is not going to be that effective at a funeral. So for Rabbanu Sarva like Rabbi Yitzchak, Dam Rabbi Yitzchak, Ma Yisonein Adam, Chai Gever Al Chata'av, Afil B'Shas Aninu Shal Adam, Yitzro Misgaber Alav. And as far as the Chacham is concerned, look, you got to know your Yetzirah. Your Yetzirah is strong under all circumstances. Funeral, somber. The mood is very somber. That's true. You still have a Yetzirah. He quotes the Pasuk in Eicha, forgive me, right? We do need to look at the Pasuk just a little bit better. So Abba Shal Ki Ksiv, Ahu B'Misra Malmidosav Ksiv. So as far as Abishal is concerned, that pasuk of Ma Yisonin Adam Chai Gever Al Chata'av, what does he do with that pasuk in Eicha? So he translates as follows. Somebody who says, I have no idea how it is that all these things befall me. So Hachi Kamer, Ma Yisraim Al Midosav. So the person says, look, I'm a good guy. I can't understand why it is that I'm experiencing all this. V'chi Gever Al Chata'av Dayu Chaim Shenasati Lo. And so basically you have a lot to complain about. Hey, you're alive. In other words, right? Right. First of all, everybody's got sorrows. Everybody. So right. There's nobody without that doesn't experience sorrows. And you know what? In other words, just focus on the positive and the fact that you're alive. And that's already a huge deal. So the way that Rabbi Shaul interprets the pasuk in Eicha, it's not a description of your yitzhahara at a cemetery, at a funeral. It's just simply describing a person who feels that, like, I didn't get a fair shake in life, and to which the pasuk in Eicha says, you have nothing to complain about. You're alive. You're doing good. You're in good shape. Okay, this is a good place to pause. In fact, we are going to pause over here. We're going to be going into starting tomorrow. The halachas of yichud, ksherim versus non-ksherim. Okay, we did good in terms of our positioning. This sugya of yichud is going to take us into tomorrow's daf, well into tomorrow's daf. In fact, this is going to be the totality of tomorrow. And then Friday, we're going to be talking about which occupation you should go into. Friday's daf is better for people who are a little bit less settled in their current occupation, admittedly.
Plumbing or electric.
One of my kids is trying to make that decision right now.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, what did we do this morning? We covered our first sugya. That's the topic of yichus, and the Kohen's coming in from out of town with a wife and with children, and it brought us to an unbelievably fundamental discussion regarding chazakah, right? And that is human behavior patterns, and human behavior patterns can go ahead and dictate certain halachic realities. That's the topic of chazakah. And today's daf, pay in Kiddushin, is really one of the most fundamental dapim that discuss chazakas, right? Let's go over the big statements of Rav Yochanan in today's daf, right? Makin ala chazakas, surfin ala chazakas, soklin ala chazakas. And then, as far as truma is concerned, well, you're not going to burn the truma. You're not going to burn the truma because of a chazaka. But we already noted that the case of the truma of Rav Yochanan and not burning the truma, that's a lighter chazaka. It's not the same type of chazakas of the Soklin and Malkin. Anyway, but those are really big topics, and every daf is important, but those are like fundamental. And that took us really to the end of the first part of today's daf. It took us to the top of Peyam and Beis. And then we started the Mishnah on the top of Peyam and Beis, the Isser of Yichud. The Isser of Yichud, a man is not allowed to seclude himself with a woman, that's Usser to him. So this Isser of Yichud is an Isser of the Torah. I say it's an Isser of the Torah. Is it an actual Isser Torah? Not clear in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, but it's a remez. It's not a beferish pasuk. The simple pshat in the pasuk has nothing to do with yichud, but remez l'Torah. And again, I cited the Rambam. The Rambam describes the Isser of yichud as being divrei Kabbalah. The details of yichud, so we only touched on today. Tomorrow we're going to go through all the details of yichud.
Make sure you charge your iPad by tomorrow.
Ah, you know the sounds. You know it.